I'd like to ask Roger Blake from the Rail Futures, who's a campaign for better services, what he thinks. Roger, good morning.
Good morning.
Roger, do you agree with me? Is the service getting worse and yet it's costing us more?
It is costing us a bit more, and I don't know if it's getting worse in some places. That is undoubtedly true. The main point is it is not getting better as it needs to.
So how does the government or how do these rail companies justify the increase, which I think is around 3% increase yet again on the price of a fare? I mean, it's cheaper to fly aeroplane in some of these places than actually go on the trains. So if you want to travel the length and breadth of the country, it's quicker and cheaper to go by air, surely.
There are actually, depending on people's individual circumstances, some amazingly good bargains to be had on the railway network.
How do you get them?
Some people are not able to book ahead or have time to experiment with different ways of getting between A and B, and season ticket holders, we wholly accept, have much, much less choice than people who make occasional journeys where they can pick and choose. But the underlying challenge that we face is that the costs of running the railway don't stand still, and in a service industry, which is what the railway companies are, one of their biggest single costs is the cost of employing all those staff which we wish to see around our stations and on our trains.
Well, absolutely. You know, in the argument in London often is about having closed ticket offices. So you just use machines and nothing else. And that makes people feel very unsafe at certain points of the day. So I think that people do want to see staff there helping them. But you constantly hear the same arguments. They've run out of drivers, or the driver hasn't turned up, or, you know, there's a problem with the train. The amount of times a default on the train itself has altered the service. Now, surely we should be demanding more.
It is absolutely right that we should demand more, and this is one of the many, many challenges that the rail industry as a whole faces. It's not just a quantitative challenge that more and more and more of us prefer to go by train when the things will work than going by other means, but it's the qualitative challenge that in so many other walks of our lives we are discerning customers, and we press our supermarkets and our broadband providers and our utility providers and all of that to step up their game. And it is entirely right that the railway industry should be subjected to those same consumer pressures to provide a higher quality service.
The trouble is we feel powerless, Roger. We feel utterly powerless. We feel like we are just lemons or aliens on a train, or ants.
Okay.
And we're just going along. What can we do to make our voices heard?
But let's just do a little comparison, and drawing comparisons and analogies can be a perilous thing to do. But if you're stuck in a traffic jam on the road, driving to the station or home from the station, there's no way that there's a delay repay system if you're caught up on the road. Now, the ideal situation that we want to obviously move the railways to is that delay repay almost becomes a thing of the past, because guess what? The trains run and we don't have to claim in the first place. Now, that's a long, long process to get to, and the railways, unfortunately, are playing catch-up. They can't provide enough track, modern signalling, additional trains. There's hundreds of additional trains that we're going to be coming onto the network around the country next year. They're coming out the factories. They're being tested. So there is loads and loads and loads of improvements which are in the pipeline. In the meantime, people going to work on the 2nd of January are going to think, what's changed? The only thing that's changed is that I'm paying more. Well,
it doesn't feel good in January anyway, does it, Roger?
The question back is, so how else are the railways funded? Because their costs don't stand still. The wage costs don't stand still. Now, Rail Future, with other campaigners, has pressed for CPI rather than RPI to be the benchmark for any future fare rises.
Can you explain that, Roger, exactly what you mean by that?
Well, it's Consumer Price Index, which is a lower and more representative indicator of inflation than the retail price index, which is what government still uses just for train fares, but not for much else, except that it's also the kind of, there's a bargain to be done here, that if the railway can contain its costs to consumer price index levels, then it's entirely reasonable that consumer price index is the the kind of indicator of how much the fares should change.
And of course, the elephant in the room amongst this conversation, which is kind of people do dodge around, but I think it's important to acknowledge and recognise, is there are more and more people travelling on the railways because of the pressures in terms of immigration and other things. And just in terms of, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, there wouldn't be as many people travelling on the railways as there is now. And I think that's a good thing, because we're not in our cars, we are preserving the environment, we are, you know, getting to work, we're earning money, we're paying taxes, but the pressures are so much more that I used to be able to get a seat on my train and I can no longer do so. And, and you know, how quickly can the railways catch up with the amount of people that want to get on them?
Well, the railways are slowly, but nevertheless very surely catching up. Some of us went to a stakeholder event run by GTR, which is one of the biggest franchises in the country at the moment, all the way from Cambridge and Peterborough to Brighton and Lord knows where on the south coast. And I can't remember now exactly what the figures are, but there is a huge increase with the number of new trains. They are introducing, I think, a total of four new entire fleets of trains to provide more seats for bums. Railways in the old days, it was a case of get the bums on the seats to keep the railways open. Now it's finding seats for bums because more, as you say, more and more people want to use the railways, which in principle is a darn good thing, because when it works, it is the quickest way of getting from A to B.
Absolutely. And don't do what I did last week, which I attempted to do a bit of Christmas shopping. Then someone sent me a lovely bunch of flowers and I tried to get on the train with all this stuff. And I was I was a complete pain in the backside because there's barely enough room for my backside, literally not including all the other things I had with me too. Yeah. So, you know, we've got to think about that and think about the best times to use the trains and best times to travel. And I think that might make a difference. Roger Blake.
We need to make the railways a more attractive proposition so that it's not a stress purchase. People choose to use the railways for positive reasons, not because they have to.
And plan in advance, because that's when you can get the best ticket price. Roger Blake from Railway Futures, thank you so much for joining me this morning.